from Aggregate Industries.
Yeah, hello everybody. Yeah, I'm Macaulay from Aggregate Industries. I'm the head of decarbonisation there. So I look after the net zero strategy. I look at the different technologies that we use to decarbonise. I'm aware I'm the second cement manufacturer to take the stage today, so you're going to hear pretty much exactly the same thing from me. But I'll try and take it a little bit different, maybe with a song and dance routine, something like that. Maybe. So as far as who we are, we have a very different network of plants across the UK that we do. We have quarries, ready mix plants, asphalt plants. We have a cement plant, which is what I'm going to be really focusing on today, alongside contracting division. You name it, as far as building materials go, we probably associated with it, involved in it in some way or another. And as far as the business goes, we really focused on sustainability as a whole. We have the ambition to become the leader in innovative and sustainable building solutions. That means we look at right across the sustainability agenda. I'm obviously here to talk to you about climate today, but we have lots of things going on right across the five different pillars that are listed here. In fact, we have a nature strategy that we're going to be launching very shortly. So watch this space, and we see, you know, real opportunity for us to be able to play a strong part in many of these different areas. We obviously own a lot of land, a lot of quarries that we do a lot of things around nature as well. I'm very excited about that. But circular economy is a key focus for us as well at the moment. We've made a number of acquisitions recently to grow our business in that area. So we see that as a real growth space for us. As far as the broader context, we are part of a company called Holcim, who are a very large global cement manufacturer, and we see sort of sustainability and decarbonisation right across the chain, really, right from the greening our operations, which is really what I'm here to talk to you today about, our Scope 1 and 2 emissions. But we also see around, you know, building better with less, making buildings that are just more sustainable, design them better, and obviously at the end of life, bringing those back in into a reuse again. So we have operations and expertise right across these points. So as far as our net zero strategy goes, we have about a year ago launched a strategy which is to decarbonize by 2050. This is the Scope 1 and 2 sort of pathways that we see. So we have set ourselves 5-year blocks of time to achieve reductions in. So the next one is 2025, 2030. So by 2025, we aim to have achieved a 37% reduction based upon a 2020 baseline, and then further reduction 68% by 2030. Lots of different activities to achieve that, clearly. You can probably see the cement is a big chunk of our emissions for ourselves. Cement is one plant. We have one plant, Colden, in the Peak District. So that produces about 70% of all of our emissions. The other 200 and something sites that we have are the rest of the 30%. So obviously there's a whole range of technologies we require to decarbonize that other 30% or so, which I'm not going to go into a huge amount of detail today, but certainly hydrogen plays a part. We see that particularly within our asphalt manufacturing for that sort of heat that we require from there. It's very difficult to electrify, so we're working a lot in the hydrogen space and alternative fuels there. But as far as the cement goes, I thought I would put up just this is the Mineral Products Association roadmap for decarbonisation. We've, as an industry, done a lot over the years to decarbonise already, reducing our emissions well over half to this point. And there are a number of different levers that we can use, and Marianne did a great job in summarising some of those earlier today, so I won't go into a huge amount of detail, but things like changing the fuels that we have is clearly an important part. Historically, we just used coal, so we've all of our cement plant has moved over, but the wider industry as well moved over to a range of alternative fuels, waste fuels, even biogenic type fuels where we can burn biomass. So there's a good amount of reduction that we can do there. We've also talked about granulated blast furnace slag, GGBS. We can replace cement or clinker, reduce the amount of clinker within our cement mixtures, so that therefore they're lower CO2. And there's a whole range of other types of mineral replacements that you can use, and that we're exploring continually to see how we can further reduce that clinker content. So there's a great amount of work there that we can do ongoing. But the one really I'm here to talk to you about today, and you're probably most interested in, is carbon capture. You can see in this graph here, it's the yellow block, which is about 60%. So there's clearly for our industry, the process emissions that we produce are such that we need to find a way to capture those and to store them permanently. So it's exciting that it's not just one cement manufacturer talking to you today. There's a number of us here and a few of us yesterday as well. For us as an industry, we're excited to see now more than ever the solutions in front of us to decarbonize. A lot of time industries can potentially just talk about these things. We're now at the point of designing and implementing these technologies, which is an exciting place to be. Because we, just like the steel industry that was mentioned earlier, we form a significant proportion of the emissions of the UK. Globally, it's well over 7% of the global emissions are to do with cement manufacturing. And certainly, if the UK can lead in this space, then that's very exciting for us to be able to be net zero ourselves, but also to be able to show the world how it can be done. And the UK is quite well positioned, as we're all aware, as far as storage goes, to do that. So it's a great opportunity for us, and that's something, a message that's well worth everybody here emphasising to anybody who's prepared to listen. The UK is well positioned to do carbon capture and can make it a really successful thing. So any future government, let's tell them that as well, shall we? Make sure that continues. So as far as ourselves and what we're trying to do, we're part of an initiative called the Peak Cluster. So there's a number of cement plants and lime plants based within the Peak District that all have the same problem to decarbonize. And so we decided to come together to try and find a solution for that. Clearly, we've talked a little bit, sea capture was on the stage earlier today, around the fact that there are solutions to capture CO2. That's brilliant, it's exciting. The cost of those are coming down all the time. The technologies are maturing. We're yet to see a cement plant capture CO2 at scale, but Brevik is nearly there. So hopefully we'll start to see the maturity of these technologies increase. And so that's really exciting. But obviously for carbon capture, I'm sure most of you are aware, it's really a big jigsaw puzzle. A very expensive jigsaw puzzle because we have to capture the CO2, but we also have to transport and store it. And in fact, the transport and storage bit is probably the harder part of the puzzle to solve. We've come together to try and identify a way of doing that, of solving it. And we have ourselves, we have Tarmac, Breedon, Sigma Rock, Loast. These are all based around the Peak District. And we've come together to develop a pipeline that will take the CO2 from the centre of the UK out into towards the Irish Sea, and then from there's a number of different storage locations that we can potentially consider. The one that we're currently prioritising is Morecambe Bay, which has around a billion tonnes of CO2 capacity storage, and is kind of likely to finish its gas production towards the end of this decade and be well-timed to then take our CO2. So well over 3 million tonnes of CO2 to go through the pipeline per year, making it the biggest cement decarbonisation project in the world. So it's quite exciting to be able to talk about this. Publicly, we launched it about just over a year ago now, but it's been in development for a number of years before that as well. We've just finished pre-feed and we're about to kick off into feed later on this year. Subject to lots of government decisions around track one being made. So hopefully, fingers crossed, all that happens in a timely manner. We shall see. So that's the initiative that we've developed. And really, the things that I was going to focus on today a little bit is just some of the problems that we've come across to date in developing this project. Some of the experiences that we have. So I guess the first thing to say is obviously collaboration in our industry, whilst it can sometimes happen, it's rare. So it's exciting to be together as an industry and to push this forwards as one industry. And in fact, obviously, clusters really do encourage that kind of process, and it is essential. There are some plants, and particularly cement plants, that are not able to be part of this cluster, and for them, trying to get themselves in a position to be able to transport and store the CO2 is going to be a lot trickier. So certainly there needs to be attention given to those plants in particular going forwards. But when you do put together a whole lot of capture plants in relatively close proximity to each other, then it does cause a few different problems to be considered. So we have obviously at least five capture plants in the Peak District. Happens to be that they're part of four different grid DNOs, so we've got lots of different conversations going on. The carbon capture does unfortunately require a huge amount of energy to operate. Some of the plants that we have in this cluster have natural gas, and obviously some technologies in carbon capture require significant amounts of heat, so natural gas is a good way of doing that. Some don't have natural gas. Our plant, Colden, doesn't have a natural gas supply. We are particularly reliant upon the grid to provide us with any new electricity. Unfortunately, that means we're going to triple, probably at least, our power demand at the site. And our power demand at the site is not insignificant already. When we're right at the end of a line, of course, always is the way. So reinforcements of the grid are going to be critical for us. And what's really important for us is, as far as you know, these commodity type materials, obviously price is king. And when it comes to carbon capture, energy is the key element of price. And so we've really got to make sure that our OPEX is able to be brought down. We supply energy at the lowest cost possible. That includes how we do that with the power infrastructure that we need to be bringing into site. It's one of the critical problems for us, and probably one of the key risks that we have now that we have a plan to sort of pipe the CO2. We've just got to try and get enough power to the sites to enable that to happen. My final slide on this really is just sort of the types of things that we could consider to do to solve that problem. Obviously, engaging with DNOs, if anybody in the room is looking to do carbon capture and is on that journey, picking up conversation with the DNOs is an early stage thing that needs to be done. And I found them to be relatively open door in this sort of thing. They understand the problem, happy to talk, happy to tell you just how long it is that you're going to have to wait, theoretically, to get a cable through to you. Although, in fairness, I think the issues they have predominantly is around generation rather than use. So if you're going to say that you're going to use lots of energy, sometimes they're quite happy about that, because there's lots of people trying to put energy onto the grid. We do need base load, so cement is a sort of 24/7 production process. So we need base load power. Previously, sites have considered doing things like CHP if you've got natural gas, which is, I guess, a good fit. Obviously, that produces more CO2 and potentially a different type of flue gas. So if you've got to try and capture that as well, then it can cause a few additional problems there. We've already talked about SMRs, AMRs. Clearly, the model there may fit. We don't quite need 300 and something megawatt, we need maybe smaller systems, but there's definitely opportunity to co-locate, but obviously it depends very much on the maturity of the technology and whether or not we can get that the acceptance from our communities to not only build a massive carbon capture plant, but also stick a nuclear plant right next door to it as well, right in the Peak District. Can sometimes be awkward conversations. And obviously you can do other things as well, renewable and batteries, but the scale of these things are quite big. But overall, any on-site production can certainly help. For us, I think we would love to have like priority on the grid. I think there's probably a few industries that would sort of put their hands up and say that should be something that they would like. We think there's a strong case to be said that cement should have priority there. We obviously can't decarbonize in any other way. Our materials are very much needed within the decarbonization journey that the country is going on. So we would love to sort of be able to have the opportunity to decarbonize get ourselves a little bit further. further ahead of the grid connections than other companies, I think. And yeah, possibly a whole wide system view is necessary when you look at an industry like ours, and we're saying we've got 5 capture plants all within a relatively small area, in a similar way as other clusters have got. We need that system-wide view. Where is the energy coming from? Where is it going to go? And hopefully things like the National Energy Systems Operator that's just recently begun, we're having conversations with them to try and get that strategic thought process happening to enable what is essential decarbonisation work to happen there. So that's just some of the thoughts that I had on the process that we've gone through to date. I'd love to hear your questions and talk to you over the break. Thank you.